Warning, Star Trek From the Holodeck contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Lock it alone!
Fire.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Commander Klingon vessel. We are energizing transporter beam. Now.
Welcome, everyone, to Star Trek From the Holodeck. Hold on to your butts, because we are going at warp 9.9.
Ooh, that's going to cause some friction.
Yeah. Dave, side note here before we get into the show for today, which we have a whole lot of Star Trek news to get through, a lot of exciting news. But first, I got to say, I have gone back recently to watch the first season of TNG, and it's been years. I usually skip the first 2 years, not because I don't like them, but because I felt like I spent so much of my young life watching those seasons. I was like, eh. But now that I'm a man, I used to think Deanna Troi was the hottest lady, but she really isn't. It's all about Tasha Yar.
Yeah.
God damn, she's hot.
Dude,
how come I didn't think she was attractive when I was a kid? But now I look at her, I'm like, you are the perfect specimen of the 80s punk rock chick, right? Doesn't she look?
Yeah. Oh, dude, she's
a keeper. Yeah, I want to go back in time.
I applauded when Data did all whatever he was doing to her in the bedroom.
Second episode in, he like goes in. He's fully functional.
He's fully functional.
Shit, I would say the same thing. I'm more than functional. Computer, do not ever end program. That's creepy. All right, so let's get into our news because we got some exciting stuff to talk about. First on the docket, new Star Trek series, that's right, has been announced, Dave. And it's the one we've all been waiting for. Are you ready for this? Are you ready, David?
Oh, I'm ready.
Star Trek series featuring Spock and Pike and Number One has been announced. Series order to Star Trek Strange New Worlds. That's the title of our brand new Star Trek show. Strange New Worlds. And according to various reports, those Star Trek fans out there that have been gripey and complaining, oh, Discovery's too dark, Picard is too dark. Apparently, this series will be more optimistic and even better, Dave. And I'll tell you why. More episodic.
So it's going back to the old format of what the series, past series were like.
That's right.
Which... amen. let's try this. Well, please.
I think it's time.
I think it's time.
We have had serialized Star Trek for many years now. I would call Deep Space Nine, Enterprise, and Voyager both serialized hybrid. Deep Space Nine more serialized than the others, but Voyager, Enterprise, they all had their serialized moments. You can even pinpoint a myth arc. And if you can pinpoint a myth arc, that means there are serialized moments. So I feel like it's time. Discovery has been, for the most part, exclusively serialized. Same thing with Picard. Why not? If you're going to have 4 or 5 different Star Trek shows going on around the same time, then why not have one that's more geared towards the older demographic? I'm not saying geared towards the older demographic in the way that, hey, make this exclusively for the older Trek fans. But hey, why don't you go back, harken back to your old format? Why not? Let's see what happens. And I feel like with a show like Star Trek Strange New Worlds, where their mission is to seek out new life and new civilizations, right? Isn't that their 5-year mission?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. Episodic, please. Let's do it.
And I think that, honestly, I'm really psyched for this series more now that it's in this type of format, because quite honestly, we already know the story of Pike, Spock, and Number One.
Do we?
But
we know they're in. We know the end game.
But this is also supposed to be kind of like Star Trek needs to expand, show us the universe around everything. Try to build your mythos, because remember when I think it's Kurtzman, the current showrunner or the lead producer.
Alex Kurtzman.
He wanted to basically create a brand new mythos, a brand new kind of like universe to kind of build off of and do these multiple shows that he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Well, Strange New Worlds, by doing it episodic, you focus more on basically establishing the universe. And I'm more comfortable with that because I already know Spock. I already know Number One and I know Pike. Yes.
They're familiar faces. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I get what you're saying.
I'm not going to be like wondering.
And also, Dave, like, we already like them.
Yeah,
that's hurdle number one. They're not necessarily going to have to introduce these faces. This is a true spinoff. This is typically what you want to do with your TV franchises. You want to make true spinoffs with characters that were introduced in previous TV shows, right?
Yes.
Well, we all got to know Pike and Spock and Number One pretty well in the last season of Discovery. People, for the most part, all clamored around Pike. There was a lot of excitement, even with Spock. People wanted more.
Yes.
Every time I post anything pertaining to Pike, people applaud on social media. Yes, more Pike, more Pike, more Spock, more Number One. It was a no-brainer. And if Alex Kurtzman and his team over at CBS All Access ignored it, they would be fucking stupid. I would have to question, why the fuck are they running things if you're just going to ignore the fact that you are sitting on gold?
Yeah, you're ignoring your audience.
Yeah, and listen, I'm all about ignoring your audience. Sometimes the audience thinks they can write better and they may know better stories, but they're not writers. And I don't want them listening to I don't want them listening to us unless you're a shy man. Chai-Man, please listen to us.
But if the numbers are there that show you that basically, hey, there is a need or a want of this series,
then why wouldn't you do it?
Then why wouldn't you do it? It's easy money at that point.
Exactly. It's like a bunch of people saying we want a steakhouse on the corner of 25th and 7th, and the city's all, nah, fuck it. You know, like, but we all
Here's
want
a parking
it.
Garage.
Hundreds of thousands of people want to go to dinner here. Nope. No, not going to do it.
Yeah, here's a parking garage instead.
Yeah. So the new show will take place on the Starship Enterprise in the years prior to James T. Kirk coming aboard as captain. The new show is set like other recent Star Trek spinoffs. It will stream on CBS All Access. But it will, according to co-creator and executive producer Akiva Goldsman, hew more closely to the original Kirk-era Star Trek in structure and tone than those other recent additions to the franchise. I would say that's a good call, and not because I haven't liked the tone. I've enjoyed the tone for Discovery and the short treks, as well as Picard. I feel like there's a maturity there that's warranted. It's a different time.
It's a different time, and it's also a different crew. We don't have to hear about the first mutineer type of storytelling we got in Discovery for Pike, Spock, and Number One.
The story dictated the tone.
The story dictated the tone at that point.
This is different. We're dealing with something different, as I said at the top of the show. We already have those shows. We have another one coming out called Section 31 that will probably also be darker in tone. We don't need to keep doing the same thing. So I'm on board with them doing something
a little different and maybe something a little more comfortable for other Star Trek fans.
And you know what? Anson Mount, he could sit there and smile and just make us feel safe.
Yeah.
I love you, Pike.
I love you, Pike.
And I love number one. Oh,
my God.
Rebecca Romijn, please, please.
Get tighter.
What does that mean? Get tighter. What does that mean? Please.
I want the uniform just to be a little tighter.
Oh, you're a nasty.
I'm a nasty man. But Rebecca Romijn is so beautiful.
He's a keeper. All right. So also, Dave, the showrunner is also Akiva Goldsman. And on paper, that sounds great. Yeah, he's done some great work over the course of his long career. So I am interested in seeing what he can do. He was also in charge of Picard along with Shea Bando. And as we know, I'm not the biggest fan of Picard. And I believe we're going to get a sample or a taste of what he's capable of doing. Because if my memory serves me right, I believe Akiva Goldsman is also taking over showrunner duties for Picard.
Yes, he is.
So we will be able to see just what he's capable of doing.
And what I'm hoping is basically he's going to write the ship on Picard, and because he won't have Shea Ban breathing down his neck, we don't want Shea Ban.
Let's not be too negative.
This gut feeling that the root of all evil is him. It's Michael Shea Ban.
You think he's the devil incarnate?
I think he's the devil incarnate.
Jesus. All right. So he says, this is Akiva Goldsman. He says, we're going to try to harken back to some classical Trek values. I don't like we're going to try. How about we're going to? Who says that? We're going to try. What does that mean?
He might be nervous.
We're going to try to do it. I'm not sure we can accomplish it, but we're going to try.
Because if he says, oh, we will do it, then, you know, then the hype is going to be a bit more on him.
Michael or David. I'm calling you Michael. That's how annoyed I am right now. David, if you were to ask me what I'm writing right now, okay, I wouldn't say I'm trying to write a science fiction novel. I would say I'm writing a science fiction novel. I don't sense a lot of confidence. If we get a little worried already.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because the devil is not on his shoulder.
And also Akiva Goldsman. We're just making jokes. Akiva Goldsman is a talent.
He is a talent.
Look at his long body of work. He's done some great stuff. So he says we're going to try to harken back to some classical Trek values to be optimistic and to be more episodic. Goldsman tells Variety. Obviously, we will take advantage of the serialized nature of character and story building. Boom! That's like Deep Space Nine. That's like Enterprise. That's like Voyager. Dude, I'm on board.
See, he just had to explain himself.
But I think our plots will be more closed ended than you've seen in either Discovery or Picard. I'm okay with this.
I'm actually more excited. So I'm not going to have like these floating little things out there and these little gigantic
floating things,
plot holes that I could put my fist through.
Okay. We're not talking about Discovery season one. No, you're okay. We're not talking about you, Discovery season two. What else are we? Did we leave anything out?
Let's not speak of it.
The original Star Trek, in keeping with TV conventions in the late 60s, told stories so self-contained that events that seemed to traumatize characters in one episode would never be mentioned again in subsequent ones. Yes, that was an issue with older school television and how they were produced. It was the nature of the beast. So at least they're going to remind us of things that happened. And that's exactly like Deep Space Nine, later seasons of TNG, Voyager, and Enterprise. It's more of what we're familiar with. So yet again, Dave, I am that much more excited for this series. I was already on board, but now I'm more excited.
Yeah, because it seems like, okay, it sounds like they have a game plan.
He's, I imagine it to be closer to the original series than Deep Space Nine, Golden says, of Strange New Worlds. We can really tell close-ended stories. We can find ourselves in episodes that are tonally of a piece of the type of episode that Strange New Worlds might attempt that Discovery or Picard might not, Goldman says. It's hard to do a shore leave episode in the middle of a long, serialized arc.
So now, correct me if I'm wrong. From hearing that, it sounds like they're going to try to kind of mimic the vibe of short treks. You know, these, they're going to try to do a series of them that tonally they might not match together. But you could still watch the entire series and still enjoy it for what it is. You'll have like, you won't have like these open-ended, oh, this will be called back. This is a thread that will continue on throughout the entire season. No.
Okay, so he also says, he gives us more examples. Okay, the more he talks, the more I like. So get this, okay? He says, but episodes won't be quite so contained as, say, and this is a perfect example, The City on the Edge of Forever, the classical original series installment in which William Shatner's Kirk and Leonard Nimoy's Spock meet Edith Keeler, a brilliant social worker. He says, I think one thing that we always struggled with as fans was that Kirk is heartbroken at the loss of Edith Keeler in The City on the Edge of Forever and has to be just fine. This is written poorly. And then he is just fine next week.
The next episode.
Goldsman says, I think what we would want to do is keep the characters having moved through and recognizing the experiences they have had in previous episodes, but to be able to tell contained episodic stories. Yeah, that's exactly like what we're familiar with TNG, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise.
Yeah, your characters, they're still going to be quote-unquote character growth or character development.
I'm excited, Dave. Wow. I did not expect this. I'm very pumped for this. See, a lot more than I was.
And see, this is what I mean. I want to be a little hesitant.
I know.
And not get my hopes up.
We don't want to cry.
I don't want to cry at the end of this. What did you do?
Why would you do this? The shame bed, potty mouth. It makes no sense. All right. So, Dave, here's some spoilers. Well, not spoilers, but previews of things to come in Star Trek Discovery Season 3, which surprisingly, we've not really heard a whole lot about. And I know
it's been quiet.
Coronavirus is a thing right now. I get that. But I'm surprised we haven't heard more around the rumor mill. I mean, Discovery Season 2 was arguably very successful. People loved it. Even the people who were more critical the first season typically came around for season two. And yet we don't really hear a lot.
Well, remember the trailer came out for season three. The teaser trailer came out and it kind of flew under everyone's radar.
Yeah.
Everyone was like going, wait a minute, this just came out. And then I started seeing the trailer more and more on my feed, like 3 days after it got released or even a week after it got released. And I'm with you. I'm like you. I'm kind of confused why they're not hyping the show more, because it is just around the corner. It should be coming out, I think in a couple months. Not even like a year. It's going to be in a couple months, isn't it?
Yeah, real soon, before the end of the year.
Before the end of the year.
Yeah.
So like, again, maybe there's a strategy to this. And we might not be privy to it, but I do feel that basically just a tiny bit curious. Curious is probably the best.
Bi-curious?
Bi-curious. I see what you did there. But I am a little curious is a better statement than basically concerned. I'm curious why they're holding back. There hasn't been any word about any more trailers. There hasn't been any news. And like what you said, coronavirus, the cast has not been able to get out there and actually talk about it.
Yeah.
Do everything.
A lot of the conventions have been canceled. They probably had planned to share a lot during Phoenix Comic Con. Also, Picard kind of sucked all the air. I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm saying that every trade, all the fans have been so all about Picard.
Yes.
That there was not a lot of excitement left for season three of Discovery. I feel like Discovery season three will probably be much more successful in terms of ratings because of the boost in subscribers because of Picard. I know firsthand there are people that had not watched Discovery season one and two, but did watch Picard. And because they are a subscriber to CBS All Access, they then went back and checked it out and said, wow, this is actually really good as well. So hopefully season three will be that much bigger. So the mission of Starfleet is to boldly go where no one has gone before, according to Inverse. But usually all that bold going happens with the canon's established stretch of time. In Star Trek Discovery Season 3, a Starfleet vessel will venture, as we know, to a future where Starfleet may no longer exist. This is where a lot of fans have been speculating. How does a Starfleet ship and crew operate under those conditions? Discovery Season 3 will have to answer that. The one question we can explore right now is this. You ready? Just how long does Starfleet last? We know Starfleet's still around at the end of the 24th century, mostly because we saw a huge fleet of Starfleet starships in Season 1 finale of Star Trek Picard. But after that, things get a little dicey, right?
Yeah,
because, of course, things that we've seen in Enterprise. We know how far the future goes in Enterprise. We also have seen moments in Star Trek Voyager. In fact, moments that were introduced in Voyager. I take that back. No, it's not. Deep Space Nine is where they introduced the time cops.
Yes, the time fleet.
Right. They introduced the idea of that, but we didn't see anyone from the future until Voyager and Enterprise, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So we do know the idea that Starfleet isn't ancient history by the 32nd century, but may have endured until closer to 3187 is backed by existing Star Trek canon. They said that we've never had a Trek film or series take place beyond the 24th century, but there have been glimpses into a future beyond that. In the prequel series Enterprise, Captain Archer briefly visited the 26th century in which the USS Enterprise J was in service. In the Voyager episodes, Future's End and Relativity, time travelers from the 29th century visit the 24th century.
Yes.
Both the USS Relativity and Eon were Federation and probably Starfleet vessels operating at this time.
So yeah, I think that was Captain Braxton, because I remember Captain Braxton was a, I think he was,
yeah,
a
I just watched
character.
These episodes. Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty fresh in my mind, actually. I think the question that a lot of Discovery fans have is, okay, there's no Starfleet. Does that mean the Federation is gone? Because remember, they are separate.
No, that's a good point.
So that's the speculation that a lot of fans are talking about right now on social media. Well, okay, has the Federation survived, but Starfleet has been dissolved for whatever reason? Is there no longer a reason to have a exploration / military arm? Therefore, the Federation has moved past that. We will see. Those are the questions we have.
It'd be really interesting, especially since, like, I remember when they did do the time travel thing, they made the future look like there was no gigantic war going on anymore. No one was ever fighting.
In what future? Because in Enterprise, they were at war with,
I remember.
I forgot. Unless they changed that I don't remember.
I remember
in Enterprise, they might have changed the war to where it never happened.
Because in Voyager, they made it seem like, oh, okay, the whole Federation kind of ascended to something where it was like no one was fighting each other anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I know some people are a little bummed with this move into the future, saying that, yes, we all wanted to move forward. But do we really want to move so far forward that it leaves no mystery for what the galaxy will end up being shaped into? And people weren't having this argument before Picard. But now that Picard has come out, now people are suddenly saying, well,
let's go to the future.
No. People are saying that kind of destroys anything that may happen during Picard's era because we already know how everything plays out.
Yeah, because but of how the Federation is viewed at that point by the time of Picard.
I agree if there's not careful attention to detail. If there is attention to detail, then I feel like they can create a rather seamless vibe between Picard and Discovery Season 3. And I have a feeling they're not going to stay there the whole time. I don't think they're going to stay for the next 5 or 6 seasons out there.
You think?
I think it creates too many questions because then it does. You run the risk of kind of undermining any potential themes that you set up about the future.
Well,
so,
we know
for
that.
Example, things in Picard. So let's say Picard has, I'm just throwing out a hypothetical here. Let's say Picard season 2 is about rebranding the Federation Starfleet, right? And helping them regain what they lost over the last 10, 15 years between the TNG era and Picard. Well, okay. Well, we already know based on Discovery season 3 that it ends bleak, apparently. So it kind of takes away from that. So you do have to be careful. I'm not saying it can't be done, but you have to be very careful.
Yeah, you do. Because I agree with you. This is the only problem with actually when you do storytelling when it comes to, I'm not going to say time travel, but time manipulation, where it's like, if you're going into the future, you got to also remember if part of your story takes place in the past or in the present, as it were, anything you do in the future has to reflect what you're currently writing or what your current story in the present is doing. It's a very, very difficult thing to write. I've always stated that basically, as long as me and you have been doing shows, one of the biggest elements that I constantly tell people is it really difficult to write is time travel, because no one can actually give a decent time travel story without going into ridiculous mode.
But with the episodes pertaining to Voyager and Enterprise, when they dealt with time travel, it was okay because it was close-ended.
Yeah.
And it was very focused. It was a focused look into the future.
Yeah, they didn't give us like a actual big picture of the future.
It was very specific, and it was directly connected to what the episode was trying to do at that moment. Whereas with Discovery season 3, you have essentially the entire show taking place in this setting. It, just by default of watching the TV show, they're going to be fleshing out the world in a way that you can't really avoid.
Yes.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
I'm still looking forward to Discovery season 3 quite a bit because they really, I feel like they found themselves in season 2.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
I'm actually excited just to actually see how the balancing act of the writing is going to do. Because like,
what do you mean?
Because like, as I said, you're going to be doing a show that's centered in the future, right? Anything that basically even this, what they say in the future. So whatever they say happens in the show still affects like what.
What are you talking about? I'm confused right now.
I'm confusing myself actually, but like that's what happens when you talk about time travel.
God damn you, time travel.
God damn it, time travel.
Yeah. All right. So let's move past this. Let's talk about Patrick Stewart and how he is ready to take more risks for Star Trek Picard season 2.
Well, you're not Captain Picard.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Patrick Stewart, but you died.
You died.
Picard died.
Now you're the golem. Now what?
Second season of Star Trek Picard is being planned out, and the star, Patrick Stewart, is dropping some hints on where it might be headed. As part of its FYC Emmy campaign, CBS sent Picard star Sir Patrick Stewart and showrunner Michael Chabon to LA Times The Envelope to talk about crafting the first season. They also talked a bit about season two, echoing recent comments from executive producer Akiva Goldsman about how they were applying lessons from season one into season two, mostly learning how to write a TV show. I added that part in, if you can't tell.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Chabon said, the first season of Picard, especially the first half, was about learning how to make Picard. Wait a second.
I'm not going to go there, Mike.
Okay, wait a second.
Mike, no, don't stare into the event horizon.
The first season of Picard. I'm going to see if I make sense of his stupidity. The first season of Picard.
Here we go.
Especially the first half. Was about learning how to make Picard. I feel like I'm trying to figure out a word problem, a really hard algebraic word problem, and I have 5 minutes to figure this out because I'm taking a test. Because this, I'm blown away by this. How do you figure out how to make Picard? With the first half of a season, you should already know how to make your show before you even start writing word.
Mike, he said, especially the first half. So he couldn't even make Picard the first half.
Dude, Chabon shouldn't be writing, man. I was not going to be negative, but every time he opens his mouth, David,
I'm telling you,
he shows that he should not be writing television. He was a fine novelist.
Either that.
Go back. And write novels.
Either that or don't talk. You're not allowed to speak. Don't speak.
All right, so Stewart says there was no socializing between the actors for the first 5 months. We were shooting. When we came to the end of the season, we had promotional activities to engage with, and we were traveling together on airplanes and got to know one another so much better. This is going to be a new element in season two, that there is a lot of mutual respect everywhere. If you know you can take risks and there is a network around you that if you crash land, they will catch you. It's a wonderful feeling. That's how I feel now. I feel safe. The main cast is all expected to be back with the exception of Harry, which is Narek.
Yes.
Star Trek Voyager 7 of 9 was a recurring character and appeared in the closing scene of season 1 finale. And Jeri Ryan recently confirmed that she will be back for season 2, which is expected to shoot starting in the fall. It's also been confirmed that Whoopi Goldberg will be reprising her TNG role as Guinan. That's exciting.
That is.
And LeVar Burton indicated he'll be bringing in Geordi LaForge as well. Not much is known about where season two is headed. Akiva Goldsman has said the writers are using the extra time given to them during the pandemic lockdown to refine scripts. Well, that's good news.
That's good.
And stories, which includes ensuring that early episodes tie in neatly with payoffs that come later in the serialized seasons or season. He also described the idea behind the season as cool. Okay. That's a pretty big word for a renowned writer. Chabon has previously stated that season two will address the repercussions of Picard's consciousness being transferred into an android body.
Well, if it doesn't, he needs to be lynched.
Patrick Stewart recently stated the new season will not be covering the same ground, adding, does that even make sense? I think when people start writing about Chabon, they just get stupid. Everyone just gets stupid.
It's looking into the event horizon.
It's contagious. Chabon's stupidity is like COVID-19. We're all going to get it.
We're getting it.
Patrick Stewart recently stated the new season will not be covering the same ground, adding, there are a startling events predicted in season two. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I could hear the rage starting to build in you, Mike. I could hear the rage in your voice. in all positives, I do agree with Patrick Stewart in the regard that basically they're now allowed to take more risk because, okay, they got through the first season. Now they have to do something in second season with everything that they've laid before us. It's a tall order. I'll be honest. It's a tall order of what they have to cover and explain and everything.
Yeah. I'm a little annoyed right now because they're crediting Michael Chabon. That's why I got quiet. They're crediting Michael Chabon for bringing an element into Picard season one that has not been present before. I'm going to read it. You also introduced emotional disturbances in Picard, which had not been present before, like his experiences as a partially assimilated Borg. There was no real residue from it, but there has to have been. Have you ever watched Star Trek? His assimilation is at his core.
Did he
it's
not?
It's what made Picard who he is today. It's the reason why they used it in Picard season one, is because it was present. Have you guys not watched First Contact? Assholes. Assholes. I'm done with this article. I can't take it.
See, it's the Chabon effect. Anything, every time he's brought up, it's like the boogeyman. It makes things worse.
Let's go to happy thoughts, please.
Yes.
All right. So Star Trek publishing highlights June 2020. Travel back to the original series era with these new books and comics. Even though the COVID-19 pandemic has caused some disruptions in the world of publishing, things are beginning to return to normal. After comics publishers went on a hiatus back in April, books trapped in warehouses have begun shipping to comic shops as those who create them get back to work. The realm of Star Trek publishing felt its own impacts in this arena, particularly because the comics. After being stuck in neutral since April, IDW publishing is up and running again.
Yes.
And its first order of business is getting backlog titles out to shops and into the hands of eager readers. This includes, are you ready, a full slate of Star Trek titles, which are already starting to roll out. It'll take a bit of time to work through those issues, which have been awaiting shipment, which publishers are attempting to do without inundating customers with too many titles too quickly. Number one is the greatest title of all time, Star Trek Year 5.
Yes.
If people are not reading this issues or these issues, then you need to immediately. You want to watch? Yeah, I say watch. It feels like a TV show. It's written like a TV show. Read these comics.
Highly underrated.
Yes.
Highly underrated.
So we get Year 5, number 11, which will be shipped soon. We also have the IDW reprinting of Star Trek Debt of Honor. Star Trek, the graphic novel Debt of Honor, originally published in 1992 and out of print for well over 20 years. This landmark decade-spanning adventure served as part of DC Comics' celebration of Star Trek's 25th anniversary. Has to do with the newly demoted Captain Kirk and the crew of the brand new USS Enterprise, NCC-1701A, coming together to fight an enemy Kirk first encountered as a young lieutenant. That is exciting. We also have, in the world of prose, Captain Kirk and his crew are also the subject of an all-new novel from Simon & Schuster's Gallery Books imprint.
Yeah.
Star Trek, the original series, Agents of Influence.
And I'm highly interested in that.
Written by Dayton Ward, and we're big fans of Mr. Ward.
Yes.
We've actually reviewed some of his other work. So that's what we have to look forward to. We also have the Deep Space Nine comic book that's dropping, which this article, for some reason, is not delving into it, and I find that very offensive.
And a bunch of like Star Trek Deep Space Nine fans everywhere.
How are you not talking about this? Hold on. I'm going to pull up the dates on this because you and I are going to cover it and review it. Because it's been years since we've been given a Deep Space Nine comic book series. Years. It's a travesty that we have not been given more Deep Space Nine stories. All right, so issue number one is available for pre-order right now, and it will be released print and digitally July 15th. So we still have about a month away. And that's why it was not listed in that article, because that was just pertaining to June releases, which means this got pushed again. Because this was supposed to come out in June as of 3 weeks ago. That was the pushback date.
Yeah.
So we'll be getting this issue July 15th. Look for it. Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Too Long a Sacrifice, number one. And is dealing with Constable Odo as he searches for truth amid a web of treachery and lies.
Which sounds actually really cool, because then that sounds like it's going to be like a detective thing, especially since it's dealing with Odo.
Well, it feels like it's a noir vibe. If you look at the cover art, it's definitely going with the Cold War noir genre that Deep Space Nine was already written in to begin with. So they're keeping with that, especially since they're focusing on a detective, which is Odo. So it should be pretty cool. All right, Dave, you know, this actually concludes this week's discussion and our thoughts on the upcoming news pertaining to Star Trek. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Live long and prosper.
I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
End simulation.